Check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny.
Very, very remarkable. I must commend them for doing home and away victory. That gave them the top position of the group. And South Africa.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, which remained unbeaten in 2018 with a 2-0 win over regional rival Canada near Dallas, Texas. Rose Lavelle and Alex Morgan had the goals for the American women, who won the championship match of the CONCACAF Women's World Cup qualifying tournament. The United States has won 16 games and drawn 2 this year and has gone undefeated in 26 consecutive matches since last year. The top-ranked USA will be defending its title and aiming for its 4th trophy overall at the Women's World Cup in France next year. Canada also qualified for France 2019, which will be played from June 7th to July 7th. And if our Voice of America football fans are marking their calendars right now, well, the 2019 Women's World Cup in France will overlap with the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations in Cameroon, which is scheduled from June 15th to July 13th. And let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Reggae Girls of Jamaica, who booked their first ticket to the Women's World Cup by beating Panama in the third-place match at that qualifying tournament in Texas. After a 2-2 draw in regulation and extra time, the Reggae Girls, I love that name, the Reggae Girls won the penalty kick shootout 4-2. Jamaica becomes the first Caribbean nation in history to advance to a Women's World Cup. Despite the loss, Panama will still have a chance to qualify for France 2019 with a 2-match playoff against Argentina next month. Also next month, Ghana will host the Women's Africa Cup of Nations, which doubles as the African qualifying tournament for the Women's World Cup. The competition is scheduled from November 17th to December 1st, and the top 3 African women's team, they'll qualify for France 2019. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, has announced that Kenya will replace 2-time African women's football champion Equatorial Guinea at the 8-team tournament in Ghana. Now, Equatorial Guinea beat Kenya 3-2 in a qualifying match, but the Kenyans protested over the eligibility of 6 players. CAF's disciplinary board upheld the protest and also fined Equatorial Guinea $10,000. So, as a result of the CAF decision, the 8 African women's teams that will compete in Ghana next month are, in alphabetical order, Algeria, Cameroon, Equatorial Guinea, Kenya. Kenya takes the place of Equatorial Guinea, host Ghana, Mali, defending champion Nigeria, South Africa, and Zambia. Let me try to correct it. Those 8 teams: Algeria, Cameroon, Ghana, Kenya, Mali, defending champion Nigeria, South Africa, and Zambia. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In men's African football, as I mentioned during Wednesday's show, 5 of a record 24 places are now filled for the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. In addition to host Cameroon, which earned an automatic berth, Egypt, Madagascar, Senegal, and Tunisia have qualified. 3-time African champion Nigeria is in good position to go to Cameroon after winning back-to-back qualifiers against Libya. The Super Eagles of Nigeria top Group B with 9 points after beating Libya 4-0 in Nigeria and 3-2 in Tunisia. For reaction, reporter Iron Mike Mbonye called Abuja, where he reached the former vice chairman of the then Nigeria Football Association, Richard Obienu.
Very, very remarkable. I must commend them for doing home and away victory. That gave them the top position of the group. And South Africa, the rest team very simple and played a goalless draw in their home. And by that, by so the Nigeria is now the top group. And they need only one match to qualify. If they beat Seychelles in Nigeria with them, I'm sure they could do. They'll score 12 points. And whatever South Africa plays with Libya does not concern Nigeria. Nigeria will top the group because 9 plus 3 is 12. And if they beat Libya, which I doubt, they will make 11. So we have one match to go for total qualification and be sure, because the Libyans can beat South Africa and beat the other team and come up again and come up at 10. So it's a dicey group now, but Nigeria did so well.
What would be your advice to the technical crew of the Super Eagles, the players and the officials, regarding the next match against South Africa? Because South Africa beat Nigeria last year here for the first time, 2-0.
So take it easy, because the way South Africa is playing, Nigeria can beat them in South Africa. They will get minimum a draw there, and that is qualification too. It's a dicey game. The next match is important.
Nigerian and Leicester City midfielder Wilfred Ndidi got a second yellow card after getting one on Saturday, which will rule him out in the match against South Africa. What do you think the technical crew should do?
They don't need to search for that. There are a lot of good players in that team. Moses Nigeria playing a game without Peter Moses. One thing I like about the Nigerian team is that the Nigerian team doesn't revolve around anybody. And that shows success. They played two matches now without Mikel Obi. And they played well. Even when I was in football administration, I don't build my team around a player. It's a very dangerous thing to do. And I don't see this coach doing the same thing. They have a good set of players there. After all, he wasn't a regular before. And what he needs to work on is their stamina. If you notice, towards the end of the first half, they fizzled out. And we're lucky that Ighalo had his scoring boost on. Otherwise, it would have ended a draw. But you could see the determination that they wanted to win that match. And they pressed forward and got that last minute 3-2. They lack stamina because playing on Saturday, flying back to Tunisia to play the second match, they couldn't last 45 minutes. And the second half was, God help me, it was a tension, so much tension to watch, because they fizzled out in stamina. And the North Africans, they were ready for that game. And they were pressing so hard that even when the equalizer came, I thought the match would have ended in a draw, but Ighalo said no. He has played so well for two matches, 5 goals. It's not easy. He should be commended.
That's Richard Obienu, the former vice chairman of the Nigeria Football Association. And Richard spoke with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We heard Richard Obienu say how Ighalo should be commended. Let's give yet another Sunny Side of Sports salute to China-based Odion Ighalo, who scored 5 goals total in Nigeria's 2 victories against Libya. Meanwhile, the Super Eagles of Nigeria are showing their support for their country's amputee football team, as we hear now from VOA's Esther Gitui.
Nigeria Super Eagles are helping their country's amputee football team reach the Amputee Football World Cup in Mexico later this month. Super Eagles players are donating more than 6 million naira to help fund the amputee team, which has never raised enough money to travel to a World Cup tournament. Super Eagles forward Ahmed Musa encouraged all Nigerians to back the team, saying,
"We know the situation of the country now, but I'm going to call for everyone who have that passion and privilege to support them with any amount. You can do that. But we have to give them all the support that they need to pray for them, support them, and then wish them best of luck. I think if I can do more, I will add more, but I'll get to my own limit. My colleagues too, we have to do our best. I know a lot of Nigeria can do that."
Amputee football is a 7-a-side game with players using crutches on the pitch. If the Lagos-based team can raise enough money to travel to Mexico, they would open against Brazil in a group that also includes El Salvador and defending amputee world champions Russia. Russia, Poland, and Turkey are favorites, in this year's tournament. But Nigeria, Angola and Ghana are considered strong African contenders. The Amputee World Cup kicks off on October 26.
Thanks, Esther. That's my Voice of America colleague, Esther Gitui. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, VOA's Gwen Uten will have a report on four-time Formula One World Driving Champion Lewis Hamilton. But first, this VOA programming announcement.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
Welcome back to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm your host, Sonny Young. British Formula One driving star Lewis Hamilton is here in the USA for this weekend's United States Grand Prix. And joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Lewis Hamilton sits on the brink of a fifth Formula One world title, a milestone previously reached by only two other drivers in the sport's history, the late Argentine Juan Manuel Fangio and seven times title holder Michael Schumacher. Lewis was in New York on Wednesday, where he told reporters that while his eyes are set on winning a fifth title, his lifelong ambition was realized when he equaled his boyhood idol, Ayrton Senna.
I started out with the goal to match Ayrton Senna or do, you know, to equalize with Ayrton Senna, who's the guy that I aspire to be, like the Brazilian driver who passed away in 1994. And I equaled him 2 years ago. So since then, it's kind of been going into unknown territory.
The reigning world champion's racing dreams began in his home country of England, where motorsports enjoy huge popularity. However, Mercedes team boss Toto Wolff says the sport has been slow to catch on in the United States. Toto spoke ahead of the U.S. Grand Prix and said there are initiatives to hold races in U.S. cities to help boost its profile.
Formula One is the largest global sports platform, and historically we've been very strong in Europe, in Asia, and in South America. And slowly we're starting to tap the U.S. I think we have a big followership in the big cities, New York or Miami, Las Vegas. We haven't really reached the whole country yet, but it doesn't go overnight. We had some pretty successful racing in Austin the last couple of years, and there is initiatives as we speak to have a city race maybe in Miami or in one of the big big cities, and that would be great. And eventually, hopefully, we can have even bigger audiences in the U.S.
Lewis Hamilton also spoke about his push to increase diversity in the sport.
I started when I was 8. It was just me and my dad always, and my younger brother on the scene. And what's really great is now I'm having families from different walks of life come up to me and say, "Hey, my kid wants to be a racing driver," which was never really the case before. And I think diversity is very, very scarce in this sport, and it is something that I'm trying to push as much as I can, even with not just with drivers, but in the background, really trying to push. I don't know, where are the engineers? Where are the young black educated engineers or Asian engineers? And what I'm trying to see, there's so much opportunity. There's over 1,000 people in our team. And in so many other teams, there's so much opportunity to get involved in this. But I remember being at school and Formula One was not on anybody's mind. I'm going to work and be an engineer for a car. So There's a lot of work to do, but I do feel like I've got a great platform in order to get that message out there and encourage. And it's a great responsibility, but one that I'm enjoying.
Well, Lewis is at the top of that platform. Toto Wolff has called Lewis more complete than ever before. And leading up to this weekend's race, Lewis said he's relaxed and focused.
We naturally want to win this weekend. So diligence and the going through the same steps in terms of getting the car to where it needs to be through the weekend. I feel naturally relaxed and I know what I'm going to do. But I think Toto's probably a little bit less relaxed in that respect, but that's his job, to be slightly more on edge. My job's to be quite calm and collected and in order to deliver in the car.
While still in New York, Lewis took time to film himself in Times Square in front of a huge billboard of himself and wrote this personal message: "Mama, I made it. That's me on the NASDAQ building in Times Square." Lewis, no doubt, making his mom and his country very, very proud. Lewis sits behind the wheel at the U.S. Grand Prix on Sunday in Austin, Texas. And that's all from me. Sonny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, it's been a comeback year for Serbian star Novak Djokovic after struggling with an elbow injury that cut short his 2017 season. Djokovic is healthy and looking to reclaim the world number one ranking. Djokovic has won major titles at Wimbledon and the U.S. Open in 2018, and he's coming off an impressive trophy-winning performance in China, as we hear now from VOA's Jim Stevenson.
Novak Djokovic is tough to beat, even on the fast tennis courts in Shanghai, China. German Alexander Zverev couldn't in the semifinals, even though he is happy with how far he advanced.
This is my fifth this year out of eight, and there's one more still to come, so it's okay, it happens. I mean, I didn't lose to anyone that bad either. I mean, he's a pretty good player. I mean, his record speaks for himself.
21-year-old Borna Coric of Croatia wasn't able to beat the resurgent Serb in a 6-3, 6-4 loss in the final.
I play more similar to him. When I was a kid, I was looking up to him, and I was always trying to play like him. Yeah, I mean, I need to change a couple of things.
Djokovic claimed his fourth title in Shanghai, his fourth title this year, and his 32nd career Masters 1000 title. All those impressive numbers came with another, as he held serve in all 47 service games.
To be honest, I'm not sure whether it has happened ever, you know, that I go through a tournament without dropping. So this year, more than ever, I needed a lot of success with the first serves, and I've had plenty of success with first serves and high percentage of first serves in every match, so that, you know, brings me a lot of joy.
And Djokovic was happy with a strong close in the final.
I'm really happy with the way I held my nerves in the next game and didn't lose a point to close out the match. That's important, especially, you know, if you have these kind of situations, which can happen, that, you know, you don't capitalize on the match points, and the next game is important one mentally, you know, so I managed to hang in there.
Coric is a rising star and ousted Roger Federer in his second straight meeting with the Swiss great.
Against that kind of players, you need something to hold on, you know, and I was holding on just to that thought that I beat him the last time.
The young Croat is finding a playing attitude that is working.
Zero pressure. I basically didn't care, you know, and that's why I think I played so good, you know, because I just said to myself, okay, I have nothing to lose. I did probably 100 times more than what I expected.
As perhaps the all-time best men's player, Federer has no complaints.
Quite honestly, I'm happy how I'm playing. Labor Cup was good. This was good week again, so I'm happy about my reaction after the U.S. Open.
While the win was, of course, a great boost for Coric.
It's absolutely there, you know. If not the best one, then it's in top two, top three. I'm not sure, you know.
After his comeback, including a U.S. Open win, Djokovic seems to be the best player on the court right now as he aims to reclaim the year-end number one ranking from Spaniard Rafael Nadal.
In the last, 6 months of my whole journey, psychologically mostly, what I was going through and how I had to reinvent myself and find proper formula for success. And I found it. I'm just trying to hold on to it as long as I can.
It was a grind. It was a tough day, obviously, with the conditions. Didn't play well, really, today. And I'm just thankful I got myself a nice lead, really, overnight. I needed it.
Eddie Pepperell beat the rest of the field, bad British weather, and the old course at Walton Heath Golf Club to win the British Masters by 2 shots over Alexander Bjork of Sweden.
It was just a case of hanging in there all day, really. It was very, very miserable. I mean, when I said British weather yesterday, I didn't expect it to be quite so miserable.
But Pepperell did well on the greens.
There were some big putts. And a good job because, I putted awful from 9 onwards. So, literally the only chance I had of making birdies and eagles to hole a shot. So, that's what I managed to do.
All of the challenges actually took pressure off Pepperell.
Sometimes I felt confident, sometimes I didn't. And I wasn't too nervous out there. I was much more nervous yesterday. Whether that was because the conditions were just so brutal, it was just a case of just trying to hit it forward.
He did okay going forward.
To have not shot an over par round this week in the conditions we've had, I think is something I'm proud of.
York was happy, giving himself the best chance he could in trying to overtake Pepperell.
I'm really proud of myself, the way I fought it today. I mean, never gave up and just kept going. And I mean, it's tough in these conditions, and sometimes it can get over you and you get grumpy and you don't really like it. But I was trying to stay positive the entire day and just see the opportunity and just tried to catch in the gap to Eddie all day, and I was close in the end, but not close enough.
Being runner-up means Bjork is good enough to perhaps finish on top next time.
I'm very pleased. I mean, it was just one guy beating me, and another week I'm the one who wins, so if you're up there and fighting for the victory, always made a really good week, so I'm happy.
Pepperell had one secret weapon, playing on home soil.
I felt like the support was there. I mean, obviously, when I hold putts today, I got big cheers, and when Alex hold putts, he got a few oohs and ahs, so it was a real privilege and pleasure, really, being on the end of the cheers, and for all my family to be here, is we can all die happy.
A happy English golfer, Eddie Pepperell, winner of the recent British Masters tournament. And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that report. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association news, 2-time All-Star Kawhi Leonard has made a strong debut for his new team, the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors acquired Leonard in July in a blockbuster trade with the San Antonio Spurs, who got 4-time All-Star DeMar DeRozan. Leonard had 24 points and 12 rebounds Wednesday night as the Raptors beat the visiting Cleveland Cavaliers 116-104. It was the season opener for both teams. After the game, Kawhi told reporters the Raptors played far from a perfect game.
We had a lot of mistakes on the defensive end. Our offense was also stagnated sometimes tonight. But, our skill level and focus and us playing very hard tonight got us the win.
That's Kawhi Leonard, a 2-time winner of the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year Award. Meanwhile, DeMar DeRozan also got a win in his first game for the San Antonio Spurs. The AP's Roy Flores reports from San Antonio, Texas.
DeMar DeRozan made a splash in his debut with San Antonio, scoring a game-high 28 points, including the final 6, as the Spurs opened the season with a 112-108 victory over Minnesota Wednesday night. DeRozan hit a shot with 32 seconds left to break a 108-108 tie, sealed the victory with a pair of free throws, and after the game said he thrives for those moments.
I've been doing it for some years now. I mean, I just fill out the game, always try to be aggressive, and, them the moments I always want to be in. I'm not afraid to make a mistake, but with that, I'm not afraid to try to go out there and win a game.
Jeff Teague had 27 points, and Jimmy Butler scored 23 for the Timberwolves. Roy Flores, San Antonio.
Thanks, Roy. Finally, quick update on the Major League Baseball playoffs. The Boston Red Sox lead the defending World Series champion Houston Astros 3-1 in the American League Championship Series. And the Los Angeles Dodgers hold a 3-2 advantage over the Milwaukee Brewers in the National League Championship Series. And that wraps up the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my Voice of America producer, Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer, Mr. Chang. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
VOA.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London!
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. This is James Brotte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music.
Wake up, dance this music.
Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.